It's the same every year. I don't care how many calendars the church buys for the staff and for me. I don't care how many times I go on my computer and try to circle the dates and all that sort of stuff. Whenever it happens, it sneaks up on us, and here it is all of a sudden, Advent. Now, I know you've been planning for a long time. No, you haven't. You were not. No, I know. We all look at Christmas and all of that, but Advent is a very important time of the year, and it's always been that way. Every year of my ministry, we look to stewardship in that season, and then we look to Thanksgiving, and then Christ the King, and then bang, it's Advent. This year is a little different because we had a little extra week thrown in there, so we have no excuse for not being ready. And the folks that had to spend all the time to decorate in here had one extra week. God bless them. Thank you, all of you. But we did give you an extra week, which helped a little bit. But I've seen lots of people climbing into the nooks and crannies of the church this week, trying to find that ornament or that wreath or that ribbon. They knew it was here someplace, but they had to dig to get it because guess what? Here, ready or not, here it comes, Advent. Someone described the Christmas rush this way. It's like a row of hulking linemen on a professional football team. The season is down and set, poised to plow over with demands, distractions, details, dilemmas, delights, and duties. For merchants, it's a make or break time of year. The more exhausted and overworked they are, the better their business is doing. For teachers, it's the challenge of keeping a gaggle of fidgety children focused on their schoolwork while arranging some special programs or projects or music of some sort that will honor the season. And for musicians and musical directors, it's a time for arranging frantic rehearsals, for easing fragile egos and fulfilling dreams of fleeting fame. For clergy, it's a time to schedule tighter and tighter and tighter things. Services that must be better than ever, services that are suddenly fuller than ever. And for children, it's deciding what to put on their list, where to hang the decorations, who will take them to the mall, and of course, where did they put that stupid elf? I know. Andy Williams used to sing, it's the happiest time of the year. I think it's a better to call it the busiest time of the year. We have to be masters of time management to get everything done. That needs to be done during the next, 21 days, I think? Don't ask me. I don't do math. We have our day planners full, our to-do list long, our agendas full. I mean, do you have a list of all the Christmas presents you need to buy? Are you ready for that? I know. Amazon is just cooking up. I had a dinner with a fellow earlier, it was last week, who works for Amazon. I said, how's it going? And his eyes rolled in the back of his head. He said, you wouldn't believe what goes on at Amazon this time of year. He says, I've been working 12-hour shifts every day for several weeks, and it wasn't even Thanksgiving yet. So, yeah, wow. So you got all that stuff together, getting all the right things and going to all the right places. You're going to be here for the Christmas cantata in 2 weeks when the choir presents their thing. Next Sunday, will you be caroling with us? I hope so. Did you find all the different things that are going on around the church and be here at, I think it's 5:00 on Christmas Eve. I'll be here, I promise, and hope you will be too. I love all of these things. The list, it goes on and on and on, but wait. Before we start frantically working through all of that, I want us to put a new item at the top of the list, and it's the most important thing on the list, and it comes from our passage in 1 Thessalonians. Verse 12 says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you." Let that roll over you for just a second. "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you." At the top of your list, at this time of year, as Advent begins, we move towards Christmas, right? Abound in love. Everywhere you go, on your heart, and everything that you do. That means more than just being the recipients of God's love. It means that our lives are transformed by the power of that love. The Thessalonians had turned from idols to God. And we must turn from hatred to love. We should abound in love. We must make God's love known to the whole world. Paul praised the Thessalonians because of their great faith. In chapter 1, Paul remembers, quote, that their work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. He remembers that. And he goes on to say that they became an example to all the believers of Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from them. In every place, their faith in God has become known. Abounding in love. It's easy to say, but it is hard to do. So let me suggest two things that you can do to help you abound in love. First of all, you must rebound love. Everybody knows what rebounding is. You all know how to play basketball? Good, I don't. So basketball was never on my list. While all my friends were playing basketball, I was playing the cello. I can still play the cello. But you know what it means. You throw the ball, it hits the backboard, and it comes back to you. Doesn't go through the hoop, but you get another chance. And one of the players picks it up, and then they throw it. And apparently, it's a really great thing to see as it springs back to you. If we go around to abound in love, we must rebound love in a very similar way. No matter what attitudes hit us, Christians are to rebound love. There's a good chance that you will confront somebody during this Christmas season who will be rude to you, will affront you with something less than love, and the question will be, how will you respond to that person? The Christian challenge is to rebound love when we are clobbered with hate, to rebound love when we are jabbed with jealousy, to rebound love when we are shoved by pettiness, to rebound love when we are floored by dishonesty, to rebound love when we are plowed over by prejudice. I have a friend who is concerned about developing his business, and he runs his business model by me, and we have great talks about the principles about managing his business and his people. He found this in a management book. He said, first, we must emphasize choosing our attitude. He says that attitude is always a choice. We often say that a sales clerk makes us mad, but really, we chose to be mad about what the clerk did. We choose, he said. And secondly, he says we should play. Any job can be made fun if we approach it with an attitude of playfulness. Third, he said we should make someone's day every day to give someone a surprise, such as to make their day somehow better. And fourth, he says, we must be there, really be present for others. Like so many management practices, really, isn't it just common sense to do these things? But it's not easy. It's not easy when in the midst of the harried Christmas season, we are confronted with sales clerks who hardly notices that we are there, or sulky attendants at fast food restaurants. I don't know if you've come up against that, but when I complained to my friend about how bad service was in most places today, he said, do you know what I do when I run into someone like that? And I said, what? And they said, I try to make their day. And I thought he was insane, but I get... That really is the theme of rebounding love. When we run into the cranky person who normally trips our anger trigger, try rebounding love instead. When one person in your office has such a sour mood that they create an atmosphere of negativity, make their day. Rebound love. When you are interrupted with telemarketing while you're trying to eat your dinner, politely refuse, but rebound love. When you discover that your new friend hates the school board representative that you voted for, rebound love. Leo Biscaglia gave a great description of the proper Advent attitude when he wrote these words. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. When you spend years building but may be destroyed overnight, build anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have and you'll get kicked in the teeth. But give the world the best you've got anyway. I read recently about a father and his children. The father took his little daughter, Helen, who's 8 years old, and Brandon, 5-year-old son, to a shopping center. And you know, this is an old story because how many people know where there's a shopping center anymore? But this back in the days when they had little petting zoos, you know, in the center of the area they'd set up during the holiday seasons. This was in, I think it was in Atlanta. And you could take your kids, and they'd put little wristbands on them and everything. It's very secure, but you could leave your kids and go shopping. I know, it was like a Christmas present. And I know, and it cost like $5, you know, to leave the kids there. And so he gave the kids a few dollars to go in and went to walk to a store to buy some tools or something. And he turned around, and there was his daughter following along behind him. And what had happened, of course, was he had not given them enough money for both of them to go. And so she told her dad, Helen told her dad, that she gave her money to Brandon so Brandon could go in and pet the animals. And Dad was really touched by that. That was really nice of her. And so he took her with him to go and buy the tools. And they went back to where the kids were all playing. And there was Brandon, you know, all the animals are just little tiny things, but they're just big enough the kids can enjoy, you know, and they won't bite their fingers or anything like that. Anyway, and Brandon's having a great time. And Helen's just sitting there on the railing with her dad with her hands, heads in her hands, watching what's going on. And the dad said, you know, I had more money in my wallet, and it was just burning a hole in my wallet, but something said to me, don't give it, don't offer it, and Helen never asked for it. Because when I asked her why she did that, she gave the family motto. The family motto is love in action, or love is action. I like that. But it went more than that because the little girl didn't want any of the money and didn't ask for it because that's not all. It is love is action and sacrifice. Love is sacrifice. That's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard for us to give up so that others can have. It's hard for us to let go of our egos when someone at a place has made your day less than it could be and all you want to do is go up to their face and, you know, yell at them or whatever it is that you do. But love is action and sacrifice to give of yourself. Love is sacrificial action. So we must rebound love that way. But secondly, we must resound love. Resound means to be filled with sound, to ring as the woods resound with songs. When something makes a lasting impact, when it reverberates beyond space and time, we say that it resounds. We should be known by our love. We can speak of someone being a resounding success, but they are known for their success. In John 13, Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." C.S. Lewis wrote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable." The only place, I love this phrase, the only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. Yeah. Rebound it, resound it, and finally, abound in love. Charlotte Mortimer wrote this little tiny story, and I close with this. A teacher in an adult education creative writing class told us to write, "I love you," in 25 words or less, and without using the words, "I love you." So it's a pretty big challenge. She gave us 15 minutes to do it. A woman in the class spent about 10 minutes looking at the ceiling and kind of wiggling around in her seat uncomfortably, not sure what to write. But the last 5 minutes, she wrote frantically and later read us the results. How do you say "I love you" in 25 words or less? "Why, I've seen lots of worse hairdos than that." Or, "These cookies are hardly burnt at all." "Cuddle up next to me, honey, I'll warm your feet." Ready or not, love is here. Love is here at this time, and we abound in it, we resound in it. and we rebound it to each other. Ready or not, Advent is here. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we all abound in love for you. Let us pray. Our Father, we are just at the threshold of a new season, a new year for the church. And the opportunities before us are truly astounding. But we want to embrace those opportunities very, very carefully because we want to test them with love. Are we sacrificing of ourselves? Are we giving of ourselves in such a way that people will know that there is love in this community? They are desperate for it. So at the beginning of this Advent season, we dedicate ourselves to that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.